Good morning and welcome to the roundtable panel for this Monday. It is the Monday, the 9th of February. Very nice to have you with us. It is, as you just heard from Ray's weather forecast, probably where you are is crummy. But it's, you know, snow and a lot of snow and a little snow and lice in some places. So just generally crummy. But we all made it here and we're very excited. And we'll get started. Let me introduce to you our panel this morning. WAMC's Alan Chartok is here. Good morning, sir.
Good morning, sir.
Very nice to have you here. Also, Daily Gazette editor Judy Patrick is with us.
Good morning, all.
We'll get Judy on. Okay, we want you on this one, actually. We'll give you that microphone.
Hello.
Yeah, there you go.
Good morning.
Good morning. Very nice to have you here, Judy. Thank you very much. And Rosemary Armeo is here, a SUNY Albany professor and investigative reporter, and always a pleasure. Thank you very much for
Good
being
morning.
Here. Thank you. So we enjoy your letters. We like to hear from you and find out what's going on. So all we ask is that you write to us, roundtable at wamc.org. Roundtable at WAMC.org. We only ask that you be civil and do it in 140 characters or less. That's all we ask. Otherwise, we want to hear what you have to say. You can also do it on our webpage, WAMC.org/roundtable, WAMC.org/roundtable. We have a lot to talk about. I have to say, as I was trying to get my car in my driveway this morning, and you know, there's that moment of, you know, am I going to do this or am I not going to do this? And then I thought, am I going to pass up the opportunity to talk about Brian Williams with Rosemary? Nope, I'm not. So here we are. Let us begin, however, with other issues making news, and we will start.
You mean I have to wait on Brian? Ah,
not long. Not long, okay. I promise. We want to talk about John Kerry yesterday on ruling out extension of Iran nuclear talks. Secretary of State John Kerry said in an interview broadcast Sunday that it would be impossible to extend nuclear negotiations with Iran if an agreement on fundamental principles is not reached in the coming weeks. Using more categorical language than he has employed previously, Kerry definitively precluded a third extension to talks with Iran about reducing its ability to make a nuclear bomb or easing sanctions. Alan, what do you think?
Well, I think that Kerry and the president are between a rock and a Republican hard place, which is that you know, he's being painted, they're being painted, the administration, as being soft. And it's working. It's working. So people are saying, yeah, he's too soft. And, you know, one, two, two and a half, two and three quarters, two and, you know, what, 5/8. And so they have to draw a line in the sand somewhere. And this is that line right now. So I think he's wise to do it. And in some ways, I think that the Republican criticism of the president and of Kerry actually works to their advantage because, you know, the Iranians see there are no choices. They have no place to run. So do they mean it? Are they? Is the exalted Ayatollah and the rest of them willing to make that? I suspect they are not, and we're going to have to see what happens.
Rosemary.
Well, I'm not even sure why this is a story. I think you ask a diplomat about how the talks are going, and you're going to get an answer like this. Oh, we're holding the line. We have to have an answer by such and such time. He already was beginning to wiggle out of it in the same statement. He said that, well, if we're making progress and we just have to clear up some details, we would keep talking. So in other words, he's saying, I'm not going to tell you how the talks are going. I think Alan has a point that by saying, oh, the Republicans are on us about this, you have to help us or these are going to break down. I think that's probably true, but this is all just posturing in the middle of talks.
Mm.
I'm glad that we're talking with them. I think that was ridiculous that we were not, but
right.
I don't think we know anything more about how it's really going from what Kerry said yesterday than we did before.
You know, overnight, the Associated Press moved a story saying that the Ayatollah Khamenei had a speech in which he said he would go along with any agreements in the making. So that he tends to be against this any kind of conciliation on this one. At least he's saying this to his populace. Perhaps that's in response to the Kerry pronouncements yesterday.
But don't you think also, Judy, it's a good point, but don't you think also that he's talking to the recalcitrants in this country? He's trying to play American politics.
Oh, of course. I mean, they're playing both countries are playing politics in a dramatic way. Is it in everybody's best interest for there to be agreement? Yes. I'm glad that it's still being talked about, at least out in the public at this point.
I don't know. I think Iran is in a hard spot. If they don't come to an agreement with the United States, they have Israel to deal with. And I don't think they have quite the qualms we do about bombing the hell out of those plants, out of any nuclear plant they might have. So
do you think that they would use a nuclear bomb themselves, the Israelis?
The Israelis? No, I'm not talking about using. I think they would bomb them with, you know, their regular high-powered bombs.
And how do we think? I was watching this yesterday morning with Secretary Kerry, and you don't want to read too much into body language, but he just seems like a guy who's like, "What the hell did I get my?"
Although he often looks like that.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah. He didn't get elected in part because of that.
Yeah, I mean, my mother always used to cut like the bullfighter who dropped a sword kind of look. Yeah. You know, that kind of thing.
I always thought he looked a little like Tweety Bird.
As I said, I didn't mean to go into like full out character assassination. I just seem as a guy who like you hope to like we were talking about, you know, why not send him to France when the Charlie Hebdo and he's not like the guy you send out to say to bring great reassurance to the people as to everything's going to be okay kind of thing.
Yeah, he needed James Taylor as backup. That was not a good sign.
Let's take a break. We'll come back and we'll continue our conversation on other issues. We welcome your comments. Roundtable at WAMC.org.
Support comes from Mark Lawson Antiques, Saratoga Springs and Colony, New York. Purchasing estate jewelry and diamonds, coin collections, silver, antiques, fine art, and estates. MarkLawson.com. Williams College presenting a discussion of the book The Immortal Life of Henrietta Lacks with members of the Lacks family, Wednesday at 8 p.m., 62center.williams.edu for tickets. And Passing the Torch Through the Arts, presenting the Educational Theater Arts Festival, Saturday, February 14th, including a musical theater workshop for ages 11 and up, 1 p.m. at the Lutheran Church of the Holy Spirit, Albany, passingthetorchthroughthearts.com.
Good morning. Welcome back to our panel discussion for this Monday morning. Judy Patrick, Rosemary Arameo, Alan Chartok, I'm Joe Donahue, and we welcome your comments. Roundtable at WAMC.org, roundtable at WAMC.org. And we have a letter or two right out.
Well, we have them. I just want to remind everybody.
Do we want to use them? That's the question.
Yeah, right. I want to remind everybody of the rules, which are civility, which you mentioned already, Joe. Shortness, which certainly these letters are doing, but also sort of relevance. So I will, and I'll say we really do try to hold everybody to a customer. So all of those are important. Okay. Do you think that's a fair thing?
I think it's absolutely
fair.
You know, sometimes people get into the conversation. We love that. And you write to us 5, 6, 7 times. But if, you know, we only use one of your letters, I think that's fair to give other people a shot. Sure.
Well, put another way. We will only use one.
Yes.
One of your letters.
That's
okay.
Right.
Okay. So Irene writes, the Republicans saying that the president is soft. Does it mean it is true? The Real News Network and NPR are the only true free press with truth. That's interesting because, you know, I was sitting next to a guy at a funeral service on Saturday in New York, and the guy looked at me and he says, I don't like NPR. I don't like what they say. So, you know, for everybody who thinks there's only one truth, there is others who think
it probably
maybe
depends.
And then we heard from Rich who say, the Towers of Secrecy article, two parts in the New York Times, is an important two-part piece. Yes. Hopefully you will discuss it and your readers will see it online.
He's right.
Okay, everybody can
That's a fantastic series, by the way. We write about crime and corruption and mafia overseas, and the work I do in Bosnia. And this series is really important. Basically, laundered money is going into high-end, super high-end real estate in New York, and the time spent a couple of years tracing offshore companies to find out who was in those towers. It's really interesting stuff.
To answer that question that so many people have, who in the name of God can afford this place?
There it is.
You know, the top three. The top three.
$23 million.
Top three floors of this sky rise. Well, now you know. It's fascinating reading. Mm-hmm. I didn't read the. I guess the second part.
Yeah, second part ran today, and I have not read it yet.
You know, I read it. It's very good investigative reporting.
Good stuff. All right, and that's
what I got.
Okay, great. So
that's it.
Well, we can encourage people to write roundtable@wamc.org.
Oh,
roundtable@wamc.org. This story, as Judy said, moved on the wire last night. I love when you talk AP. Leaders of New York's Working Families Party on Sunday night urged Senator Elizabeth Warren of Massachusetts to seek the Democratic nomination for president next year, formally calling on her to enter the 2016 race for the White House. By voting to encourage a Warren candidacy, the Working Families Party became the latest liberal group to support her as a potential primary challenger to former Secretary of State Hillary Rodham Clinton. Alan.
So where was the Working Families Party during the gubernatorial convention? You may remember that Andrew Cuomo had had a potential opponent who Rosemary knows well. Zephyr Teachout, right, who could have had it based on the membership, but the sort of centrist part of the party, including some of the unions, said absolutely not. So I was struck, I don't know about you, Rosemary, by the fact that maybe they're trying to reestablish their liberal credentials, which they have to do because so many people were turned off from the left side of the party of, you know, Democratic voters. So that, it seems to me, may have been their motivation. As far as Elizabeth Warren is concerned, who I have immense regard for, she doesn't seem to be falling for it. She says absolutely not. I said no in the beginning, and I'm saying no now, because she knows she could win some primaries. There would be chaos in the Democratic Party, and if she was the candidate, the middle of America would vote with the Republicans, assuming they get a Jeb Bush type character in there, and then you'd have the Republicans winning.
Okay, here's my take on this story. I read it and I said, Hillary, it's time. Come out and declare. It's February. The race is on. She needs to stake her claim, and the Working Party would come out for her. Elizabeth Warren would not be getting these silly calls, which really divide liberals, divide women. Elizabeth Warren is doing a great job in the Senate right now fighting the financial interests of this country. I'd like to see her stay there. I'll vote for her for something someday. But this year, I want it to be Hillary, and I want her out there running.
Yeah, well, unlike you, I'll vote for her for Senate because I live in Massachusetts and you don't.
That's true.
I'm just teasing.
You know, I too thought it was just a strategy to kind of get Clinton out into the race for once and for all.
Mm-hmm. Really?
Now, there was also the article in the Sunday Times about front page about Hillary Clinton and her economic plan and trying to figure that out. Mm. And I thought it was very a procedural article as to what the last several months have been in trying to come up with a policy, which is basically trying to be nice to the wealthy and still take on economic disparity.
Mm-hmm.
Was that the
well,
same
you know,
characterization?
Joe, Clinton, Clinton 101. That's how Bill Clinton got to be president of the United States. He became a centrist, maybe a tinge to the right in terms of economic policy. They are following the same course that they did before. That's how you win presidential elections. So I have no doubt that that's what's going on. She's in a bad spot because the disparity between And that's why you see the Elizabeth Warren, Bernie Sanders kind of thing happening, because the disparity between the rich and the poor is growing greater and greater and greater in this country. And the left knows it. And she's got to hold on to them, but she's got to preserve the middle for her election.
And maybe I'm making this up, but didn't she say at some point, or someone attributed to her said that a decision would be made by early June? Is that true?
A decision about running, you
yes.
mean? Boy, I don't know.
Okay.
Yeah, I haven't heard.
Me neither.
All right. So, I guess the follow up question to that being, to Rosemary's point of when is the right time for the good of the party. And for the other candidates, what is a good time?
Yeah.
Well, don't you think that if it really turns out to be that she's feeling tremendous heat and that there are others coming into the race, that that's when you'll really see her forced to show her hand?
Yeah, you would assume so. But I mean, could it be argued that that's happening now?
Yeah, I that's what I would argue. I think it is happening now, and I think that she runs the risk of looking like, oh, she can't decide. This is namby-pamby. She wants everything in order before she comes out, and that's not the way a presidency runs. Leadership is to say, okay, here's what I'm working on. And I would like to see it now.
You know, but how much pressure can the Working Families Party put on?
Yeah, not much.
Yeah, it's a little much.
Yeah, and you
got about
noticed
10 seconds. Go ahead, Ellen.
You all noticed that three of the senior White House staff people are moving over to Hillary's thing and leaving the president right now, Podesta and some of the others.
So maybe jobs.
So that's
security.
Amazing.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. We're
going
to go to.
Maybe they know where it's going.
Do know that we're just about to take a break. We'll be back. Roundtable at WAMC.org. We'll talk about Brian Williams next. Good morning and welcome back to our roundtable panel for this Monday morning. It is February 9th, and it's great to have you with us. I know it's a snowy day, but it's nice to have you here. A lot of people have different schedules, but hopefully you're home safe, and if you're not, you're on the road safe, and those are your options. Alan Chartok is with us, Judy Patrick from the Daily Gazette, and of course Rosemary Armeo, investigative reporter and journalism professor at SUNY Albany. And it's a great pleasure to have you all with us. We welcome your letters. Roundtable at WAMC.org. Roundtable at WAMC.org. Alan, you want to get to the letters before we move into other issues?
Certainly, I'm going to do that, just as you suggest. Today's Albany Times Union asked a question about Andrew Cuomo. Does he really like people our governor has a chance to make New York State better. He must follow the great Chinese general from the 6th century BC and military strategist, an author of The Art of War, who said, keep your friends close and your enemies closer. Others think they said it. Uh-huh. And then... we heard from Alan, who says, while you're talking about Brian Williams and journalists being under surveillance, I would be interested in your, quote, take on the confessions of a German newspaper editor that he published stories urged upon him by the CIA, and worse, that he quote, knows that the salaries of several reporters at the New York Times were actually paid by the CIA in the period 2002 to 2007. I'm going to say I would doubt that. It's possible. Anybody can say anything they want. I would doubt
the
it.
The Bush administration paid people. Newspapers, helped newspapers in Iraq to publish stories written that were false by interns from the U.S. military. I think it's possible.
Uh-huh. So you think that it is possible that they paid the Times reporters?
Yes.
Salaries?
Yeah, the Bush administration paid commentators on TV. What would be the difference? We know that already.
The difference would be the integrity of the New York Times, which for some reason I have huge faith in. I've been critical of them, believe me, and suffered the slings and arrows as a result. But, I think that it's a terrific newspaper with high integrity.
It also had Jason Blair. They're not immune to problems. It had high integrity
that
guy on. And how would they know about the CIA payments? CIA is pretty good at...
Oh, no. No. What we're hearing here is that they were, quote, paying the salaries of the reporters. That's very different from Jason Blair or one of the others who they didn't really know. Anyway, we also heard from Dean, who says, didn't Hillary Clinton have some serious health issues a while ago? Don't you think that would be difficulty for her? And that would be from Deanne. And I must say, I think if she does that, it would sort of be, I hate to say this, especially because we've just lost our wonderful Mario. But, you know, he kept up that business about running for president until nearly the very end. In fact, he never had any intention, in my opinion, for running for president. So, it would be disgusting if that was true. You never know. Anybody else on that one? No.
Well, I mean,
okay,
yeah. Well, go ahead. Go. I mean, it just seems if they're talking about health issues, that is a concern. I mean, that seems to be, we're going back almost 2 years now, aren't we?
Right.
That seems to have been some concern at the time, and she was able to complete her job at the at the State Department, and then came back. So I don't know. I mean, we live in a world where people do get better.
Yeah, I think she's just playing with her granddaughter. She forgot. Oh yeah, I got to run for president. Put the baby down.
Oh, yeah, she forgot. Yeah. So Liam saying ending war welfare as we know it eliminates Glass-Steagall, enacting NAFTA and GATT is not a tinge to the right. It's full-blown concession to the ruling financial corporate plutocracy, and that is in response, I think, to my saying that the Clintons were, you know, somewhere in the middle. They were not to the left. John says, another Bush-Clinton in the White House, politics as usual, and this is a brand of democracy we peddle to the planet. That's what he says. I think that's what I got. You see anything else there, Joe?
No, that looks good. I think we are complete in that regard. So let's move on to other topics. We welcome your comments, roundtable@wamc.org. So let's talk about Brian Williams. When we last met on Friday, we discussed the story. And since then, the big development, of course, is that he announced that he was stepping aside for several days while the investigation worked itself out. Lester Holt has taken over the anchor desk while he is away. And also, while all of this is happening, there have been quite a few reports of other inaccuracies in Brian Williams' reporting. There are three major stories. Of course, the chopper pilot in the 2003, also the coverage of Hurricane Katrina, both in the seeing of a dead body going down the river, and also of his ingesting of water that was contaminated. So those were two other questions that were brought out, and a number of others that didn't seem to have as much, backup, if you will. So
now I know that. Now I know that Rosemary is going to have a great deal to say about it, and nobody I respect more on journalistic questions than this. But I want you to know that I got a long, long meandering letter from somebody who was furious about our take, or mine, and I think Rosemary on the Media Project, which was that, one would hold him responsible for this. And the guy's basic point, which could have been done in a paragraph, is Brian Williams is not a journalist. He's a news reader, and therefore should not be held to the same standards as.
But that's not true.
Regular journalists. Of course, it's not true.
Well, I mean, because at the time of the report, he was not an anchor. He was a news reporter for NBC, filing a report for Dateline NBC to be used in a news magazine.
I don't care if he was a pipe fitter. If his job is to tell the truth.
This is what I was waiting for.
If his job description is you tell the truth, and he earns $15 million a year to do that simple thing. Then to not tell the truth means he has not done his job and he deserves to be fired. I think this is a really horrible offense just in what he did and also in what it does to my profession. We are fighting credibility issues. We are fighting trust issues. We're working very hard to convince people that we are honest and that we work hard to tell the truth. And then this comes along. He does it repeatedly. Worse, we're finding out that at the time in 2003 when he first told the story, some of the men contacted NBC and said it isn't true, and they never heard back from NBC. So the power of social media has now brought this to our attention. And how does Williams deal with it? Oh, I'm sorry. I conflated it. I made a mistake. Not an apology. Not really. I screwed up. No discipline. I'm still reeling from the fact that Fareed Zakaria has not been punished or even disciplined or investigated a second time by the Washington Post and Time and others for plagiarism. And now this. So as someone who teaches ethics, what do I say to my kids? You have to tell the truth. You have to be really careful and accurate. You have to make a correction if there's an error, unless you make over a certain amount of money. It's just appalling.
Can I just ask a follow-up question, if I may?
Because okay,
I agree with you 100%. My question is, in the shades of gray here, when it comes to the actual reporting, I agree with you entirely. But also what is happening now is that what I've seen in the coverage of this is they're pulling out tapes of him talking to Letterman. They're pulling out tapes of him talking to other on other talk shows. And is that the same as reporting if you're telling a story? Okay.
Yes, it is. Okay, maybe if you're in a private party, a cocktail party, and you kind of elaborate and you make a joke about it, I would forgive him for that. But when you go on Letterman, that's a show. And we're just it's ridiculous
to
make a difference from one to the other.
It hurts his credibility.
It hurts his credibility and ours. Sorry.
You know, NBC has, and no, I'm sorry. NBC has, in fact, invested a lot of money, as you point out, Rosemary, in this guy. He is their front man.
Yep.
I mean, he's the guy. So to say in a letter to me that he's a news reader, even if it were true, as Joe points out, that this happened a long time ago when he was a reporter, this really damages their credibility as a news organization. And they've got to be scratching their heads and saying, now what do we do? Because this is going to cost us in the ratings and how much profit we get and everything else that comes in. I'd love to know what Editor Judy thinks about this.
You know, it's a little bit of a slap or a big slap in the face for all the reporters out there who really are in danger and who lose their life covering wars. And that tends to be forgotten in this big discussion. Mm. And don't forget that nowadays these news anchors are different than Walter Cronkite and Huntley and Brinkley, right, who never would have done The Tonight Show, I think. Brian Williams is on Situation Comedies. He is more of an entertainment person than a newsman in some respects, but that doesn't negate the fact that you always have to tell the truth. I can't imagine that you could misremember that. I mean, I could misremember whether or not I locked the door on the way out of the house, but I would remember whether or not I was shot in
the helicopter. Blair Horner said this on Friday on the show. It's like, you know, there's a lot of things that you remember in your life. One of them is probably getting shot in a helicopter.
Hillary Clinton said something similar, if you remember, during the last campaign when she said she was shot at in Tuzla, which never had fighting in Bosnia. And I think the reasons were the same, is that you become a larger-than-life figure if you're involved in an accident like that. What I think is really bad is to say anchors are really different than they used to be and they're not as important, and so why do we care? Well, we care. We should see that we care by the interest in this story, which is enormous. And so the fact that they're on entertainment programs, that they're in TV shows, which Brian Williams definitely is, means they're more of a pop figure. So shouldn't the standards apply doubly or triply? Anyway, I'm ready for Candy Crowley to be move into that seat. Maybe Rachel Maddow, a woman would be nice. Someone who
Katie Couric.
I liked her when she did her spot as Anne.
I mean, she is being touted as a possible.
I think Jon Stewart would be okay.
You know, it's been a long time actually since I've seen the nightly news. I mean, it does that viewership is eroding.
Yeah,
and they're trying to bolster it up by making their anchors more than news guys.
Well, and he just celebrated his 10-year anniversary as anchor, and from that time, or just around that time, they did a whole push, as Alan was indicating a moment ago, of they've got a lot invested in this guy, and they were investing a lot of money in talking about how important it was to have credibility, that it's all about trust. It's all about trust. It's all about trust. And this was the guy that you could trust when breaking news happened. Again, to your point, Judy, maybe you don't watch it every night, but if something, God forbid, awful happens in the world, they want you to turn to NBC News so that you find out what is going on.
I don't think he can recover from this because of that very reason. You know, you hear about some catastrophe and you turn on NBC and then there he is in the middle of it.
Yeah.
Aren't you going to be thinking,
I agree with you. And it's a real shot for all of us who really like the guy. I'm one of them. I've always liked him. And
I love Fareed Zakaria, but he's a plagiarist.
Yeah, there's a lot that we don't quite know all the details of. I think, when exactly did NBC know about this, and why didn't they take any action? And why didn't anybody who was with Brian Williams, his crew, say anything all these years?
Good point.
And what else is out there? I guess NBC is really taking a hard look. Let's see what they produce.
Well, the two points that I find interesting about this, one is that when people will say, what brought this to light? What brought this to light again? He brought it to light. Brian Williams brought it to light. He brought it up yet again just a week ago and mentioned it and patted himself on the shoulder and said,
again,
this is what I did. And one of the men who was in the chopper that was shot said, he wasn't there.
Hey, dude, I don't remember it that way. That was a great Facebook posting.
And then
wow.
He comes back. And so it wasn't like this is something that has been, I mean, simmering certainly, but Brian Williams brought it back to the front page of the paper.
It's Greek tragedy. It's hubris. You know, what is it about a person that makes them self-destruct this way? Mm. He has everything.
That's right.
And it's now, looking pretty bad for a while.
And the other thing that Bill Maher made the comment on Friday night on Real Time with Bill Maher and said, I understand, I agree with this entirely, but all this seems to do for me is make him more ready to take on a role at Fox News, meaning that we don't expect that from them as much, which is interesting in and of itself, I think.
Well, I think that's wrong too. We ought to be able to expect it of anybody who's giving us the news. You can give news with a point of view. You say, this is my point of view. This is why I think this way. But that's not what NBC does. NBC's mission is straight down the line news reporting. So he
One
signed
word,
up for that.
Geraldo.
He was punished.
All right, let's take a break. We'll come back and we'll take on some other topics. We'll take on your letters as well. Roundtable at WAMC.org.
Support comes from Mohonk Preserve, New Paltz, presenting the Rock the Ridge 50-Mile Challenge for runners, walkers, hikers on May 2nd. Sponsored by I Love New York and Ulster County Alive. MohonkPreserve.org for registration. And Landmark College, Putney, Vermont, offering 2 and 4-year degrees for students with learning disabilities, ADHD, and autism spectrum disorders. Landmark.edu.
Thank you. Good morning and welcome back to the roundtable. We have a bunch of letters, a lot on Brian Williams we want to get to. We welcome your letters, roundtable@wamc.org, and then we'll get back to another topic or two before we say goodbye for this morning. Let's go to the letters, Alan.
Okay, Kathy says, I like Zephyr Teach Out after hearing an interview on WAMC with Alan Shartok. I was hoping she would win. It is because males dominate. Oh, is it because males dominate Albany? She and Kara McGee have something in common. Rich, narrow-minded males trying to shut the door on intelligent women whose asset is their integrity. It would be great to hear from both again and again. Thank you, Alan, for keeping WMC going. You are old. That's great. You are old, but passionate. And yes, I'm a member of WAMC and proud to promote this excellent and responsible broadcasting. Sincerely, and that's from Kathy. And then
that should become a refrain, Alan. You are old, yeah, but passionate.
You are old, Father William. Okay, so then George says, TV news is show business, not journalism, and that includes a lot of what is broadcast as news on WAMC. All your discussion this morning is a little overkill. Give it up, George from Kingston. And then Jim says, this is bad news for network news in an age when fewer and fewer of us are already depending very little on network news for our information, something we've said today. Deborah says, I'd like to hear from experts on memory and PTSD. Is it possible that frightening memories morph over time? Debbie from Lenox.
Well, I've heard that as a comment. Rosemary just rolled her eyes, and
Ryan Williams has PTSD. That's
why
he messed
up. I'm just saying that I have heard that as an argument in this in defense of Brian Williams.
Americans are such a forgiving people.
But we should note that it was almost immediate after the incident, right? I mean, it wasn't like it was over time.
Right.
Okay. Go ahead.
Yeah. So, and then George says, did you guys mention that he was?
Oops.
All right.
Alan's been silenced.
Alan's mic went out, so we will get that fixed, and we'll be right with you there, Alan. I'm just going to write a let me finish.
Entitled, Rosemary.
Hey, Alan. Oh, your mic just went out there, so if you could just start that letter again.
Uh-oh.
No, you're okay now.
Here
just start
go.
That letter again.
Okay.
George.
Anyway, this is a letter entitled, yes, from Bobby. I'm with you 100% about Hillary and Brian Williams, and it was entitled "Rosemary, You Rock." Then there was I was confused when Hillary conflated the helicopter under fire. Is there a equivalence to Brian Williams misremember? Anybody want to take that?
Yeah, I think I said that. I think they both want to look like larger than life and heroic.
But would you call for her ouster?
She kind of paid for that. That didn't help her bid to become president, if I recall.
What about the second time?
Yeah.
Is there a statute of limitations? And
she better not do it again.
Okay.
I think it would harm her a lot.
I think that's it.
Now there's two up at the top there. One that's a one from Alex and one from.
Yes, you're absolutely.
One from Mark.
Alex says you're absolutely right. Thank you, Joe. Mr. Williams, I go to NBC Nightly News so often for Brian's straightforward, honest, balanced reporting in this day and way of too many sources. Always trusted the guy, even sent him a handwritten card around the holidays thanking him for what he does. I've always found him comforting. It seems his semi-celebrity status got the best of him, like we've seen so often. Lying about a war experience seems worse than getting caught with escorts like Spitzer.
And then
Christine says, Rosemary is absolutely correct. We do not yet live in a world where facts are optional, and we all have a responsibility to call out those who play fast and loose with them, especially those who are in the public eye. And that's from Chris, who teaches law and ethics at Skidmore College. Okay. Dear panel, this is from Mark.
Mark, yeah.
Dear panel, yeah, this Brian Williams scandal is a terrible thing, but it opens the door for Lester Holt, who is a much better reporter than Brian Williams. And I'm sorry, Rosemary, but your students probably already know that the rules are different when you're rich. And thanks, Mark. And I guess that is it. Do you see something else?
No, I think that's it. I just want to comment on that last note, which is that, but all anybody on TV news is going to be richer than the average person, right?
Of course.
And you still expect there to be a level of trust. I do agree with the writer about Lester Holt. You have if he were to come in and take in the job, and I don't know whether he will, but to have a really good, strong African American presence on a nightly newscast seems like a great step forward.
Okay. I just have to say that I really hate how we always get the choice between picking an African-American or a woman. Oh, both would be groundbreaking. They both would be great. And yet the women are not getting in there. It's happened with the New York State speakers. It happened with the President of the United States. I would like to see some women in. I'm sorry. Many are qualified.
I agree with you entirely. But when you have a pecking order and he's been the backup guy for how many years? Does he not deserve that job?
Well, he's the backup guy because of the institutional preference for men.
Yes.
You all make very important points, and you're right. On the other hand, when we had a choice, many of us, right, had a choice between voting for Hillary or for Obama, many people thought that what Obama's political positions were favorable to the middle road of the Clintons, and therefore they voted for Obama. Now, whether they were right or not is another whole story. I think they were, but it really wasn't. Are you going to vote for a woman or are you going to vote for a man?
Yeah, I think that's really what it was, Alan, that we would rather have any man, even a member of a class that we have put down and vilified. We would rather have a black man than any woman.
But I will say that in our recent history, we have had three women, Elizabeth Vargas, Diane Sawyer, and
Katie Couric,
anchor an evening newscast on a major news network.
But not for long.
And lots of coverage about how much of a break they got and how much support they got. Yeah, it's not good.
Well, the way they do
but
it.
But I know
as
what
you
changes
know,
that. Like, what would change that for the next reporter to come in?
That the guy who left in disgrace, that you'd get somebody really good who could do it. I don't know.
The
support of women viewers, that would be nice.
The best way for this to end is Ann Curry takes on that job.
Oh, God, she's such a bad interviewer. She should have been fired. It was done badly, but she is not a good journalist. Sorry.
See,
sorry.
So there you go.
No, I mean, I think there's lots of competent women. Ann Curry is not one of them I would put in that category.
Uh-huh.
She's
and
a terrible.
Else said that.
I show her interview with Brad Pitt at Cannes. I show it in class as an example of how not to interview. She's terrible.
All right. Well, I knew this was going to be fun, and it was. And I thank you very, very much.
I get letters all day.
Judy Patrick, Rosemary Romeo, Alan Chartok, thank you very much. Be safe in the weather conditions. We'll be back with more Roundtable after this.